and follow you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Dearly beloved, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we have before us the power and the preaching of our Lord Jesus, who proclaims the gospel of the kingdom and good news. How do you define power? What is power? Is it control, influence, and authority? Is it supremacy and rule, command and dominion? Indeed it is. True power includes all those things. And what is preaching? Is it speaking and discourse and talking? It is. Is it oration and addressing people, expounding things? It is. Is it urging, persuading, sometimes rebuking, sometimes encouraging, sometimes exhorting? Preaching is all of those things. Jesus came into the world with both power and preaching. And he brings the good news of the kingdom of God. And that is what we look at right in the middle of the Epiphany season as we're drawing near to Transfiguration Sunday, the glory of Christ on the mountain, on the first Sunday in March. So today, let us look at the good news of the kingdom of God that not only came to Capernaum, has come right here to our town of Norman, wherever we might live. So the power of Jesus and the preaching of Jesus can mold us, can shape us, can invigorate us, and guide us. So let's begin first from Luke chapter 4 with the power of Jesus. The context is this. Jesus and his disciples are in the small village of Capernaum, up north on the Lake of Galilee, and he's in the synagogue. You can still visit this place today. They found the place of the synagogue. About a stone's throw away is Peter's house. And then a short distance away, you see the pebble beach and the fresh water and the fishing boats that pull up to the small town of Capernaum. And they are in the synagogue, the place where the Jews worshipped on Sabbath Saturday. The reason why Jesus does miracles is twofold. First, his miracles prove that he is God, the Son of God in human flesh, and has all power in heaven and on earth. Secondly, the miracles give us a foretaste of what heaven will be like, where the blind will see and the deaf will hear, and all will be made new. So suddenly, in the midst of the worship of the synagogue, there is a man with the spirit of an unclean demon who cries out with a loud voice, "Ha! Have you come to destroy us?" Now a word about an unclean demon. The demons are actually evil angels that were originally created holy. They rebelled with Satan, the dragon, the beast, and the serpent, and they were cast down into hell and are now called demons, but they're actually evil angels. They foul everything that God has made. Human beings, even animals, these foul creatures, though they were cast into hell with the devil, they can tempt and torment people here on earth. And Christ came to destroy the work of the devil and to put the demons in their place. So the power of Jesus is seen when he rebukes that demon, silences him, tells him to come out of him. The demon throws the man down on the ground because the unclean spirits must come out when Jesus commands them. The reason why Jesus always silences the demons is even though they know who Jesus is, he does not want these foul creatures proclaiming Christ's identity. And he silences them because they are only evil and foul liars. Even though they know who Jesus is, they're not going to help Christ in any way. So he silences the demon and casts the demon out, showing his power over both the heavenly and earthly realms. Now, This report goes out everywhere in the whole region up north, which is the area of Galilee. And so a short distance away was the house of Simon. And after the Jews would have their Sabbath worship, they would then leave and go to someone's house and have dinner. And so they've left the synagogue and they've gone to Simon's house, which is a short distance away. They're having dinner. Simon's mother-in-law is in the house and she has a very high fever. And any doctor will tell you a high fever is indicating something else. And she was seriously ill. But Jesus simply rebukes the fever and it leaves her and she begins to serve them at the dinner. She's completely healed. Christ had power over the demons. Christ had power over the fever. Christ has power over everything. So the sun is setting and the whole town is bringing the sick, the diseased, and the demon-possessed to the door of Peter's house. Jesus goes out, he lays his hands on them and heals them, rebukes the demons, and again, does not allow them to speak because they recognized him. Why is it that Jesus has such power in heaven and on earth? Because even though the demons were not allowed to speak, they knew exactly who Jesus was. First of all, he was Jesus of Nazareth. Though he had been born in Bethlehem, he was raised in the city of Nazareth, which is a short distance away from Capernaum, as a carpenter's son. He was true man. He shares our flesh and blood. He had calluses on his hands. He knew how to use tools. He really was Jesus of Nazareth, true man, shares our flesh and blood in all ways, except without sin. Secondly, he was the Holy One of God. For the Jews, that was a very, very special term. That's the great I Am who spoke from the burning bush. Yahweh Elohim, who spoke to Moses, is the Holy One of God. Jesus incarnate, the Son of God in human flesh, is that Holy One of God. And thirdly, he is the Son of God. In eternity, Jesus was the Son of God before he ever was born as the Son of Mary. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He has always been God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's the only begotten Son of God in all eternity who now has become flesh through Mary. And fourthly, he is indeed the Christ. Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Samuel anointed David by pouring oil over David's head and establishing him as the new royal king. Jesus, of the line of that royal king David, was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And the Holy Spirit in the Father's voice is saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him. He has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. He is the new king of the royal line of David. The new David, the new Joshua, the Christ is Jesus." The power of God is shown through Jesus. As I said before, his miracles, of which there are many more in the New Testament, prove that he is God with all power in heaven and on earth, and give us a foretaste of heaven, where the blind will see and the deaf will hear. Praise be that we, here 2,000 years later, experience the power of Jesus in our lives as well. The reason you're a Christian is the power of Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to create faith in your heart that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why you've recovered from illnesses and sicknesses and cancer or whatever it might be is because the power of Jesus has been placed upon you for service in his kingdom. The power of Jesus continues to drive out the devils, to heal the sick, and give us a foretaste of what heaven will be like. Praise be to God that we today know the power of Jesus to convert us, to change us, and to heal us. Secondly, we learn in Luke 4 of the preaching of Jesus. Keep in mind, the miracles serve the preaching, not vice versa. Jesus is not doing a carnival act by healing people. His miracles serve his preaching. That's the main cause of, main purpose of the miracles, is to point us to the preaching of Jesus, which we now look at. The preaching of Jesus, which he did also along with the power, is also that which astonishes the people. Back to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, in that same synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, you know that there's only one temple in Jerusalem, and it was a long distance away. So most Jews would try to go up there once a year at Passover time, up to the temple in Jerusalem. There was only one temple. But on a week-to-week basis, just like we, they gathered at the local synagogue, which is a sanctuary in all their local towns, and that's where people would go on Saturday Sabbath, like us, to hear God's word, to sing the Psalms, just like we do, to hear a sermon like you do, to chant, to sing hymns, and have the same benediction that you hear after church. On the Sabbath, as Jesus would come every single Sabbath, here he teaches, here he preaches. A word about the third commandment. The third commandment has a New Testament understanding now. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For us means being present for preaching and teaching and the administration of the sacraments as often as we can, especially once a week. But we're here on a Sunday. The reason for that is already in the New Testament, the Christians began to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, in honor of the Lord's resurrection. So we know Christians began in Christian freedom to gather on Sundays rather than Saturdays because of the Lord's resurrection. And within Christian freedom, we can have church any day of the week. Honoring the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Luther explains in the Catechism, is we should not despise preaching in the word, but gladly hear and learn it, which means we are present, hopefully each week, to hear the Lord's word, to rest in him. By the way, people that often stop coming to church are looking at church as just one more duty they have to do. I gotta go to work, I gotta pay my taxes, and I gotta do this church thing. That's a complete misunderstanding of what happens here. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath rest. You come here to rest in his word, to lay aside all the burden that you've had this week, and come hear his word, receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Everything here is God serving you so that you rest in him and rest in his word. This is why pastors encourage their people to be frequent at the divine service. Do not neglect honoring the Lord on this first day of the week of the Lord's resurrection and reminding people the third commandment is one of the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. May it be so for you and for me. But how are we resting in the Sabbath, Lord? Through his teaching and his preaching, we are astonished also how he teaches us. Jesus came to teach and to preach. Now, there's a difference between teaching and preaching. When you teach, when we teach, we go verse by verse through a book of the Bible. We have time to analyze it, look at it closely, talk about it, have a freewheeling discussion of specific scripture text. And Jesus did this when he taught his parables. His parables, whether they be the story of the prodigal son, or the story of the Good Samaritan, or the story of the planting of the seed, he teaches us through these parables. And we are taught when we study the Word of God, come to Bible class, have your children in Sunday school, and you teach them at home, verse by verse, what the Scripture means. Preaching is a different thing altogether. Preaching is proclaiming the law. You must repent of your sins and admit them and come clean. And proclaiming the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your righteousness. The purpose of preaching is to touch you in your heart, to mold you, to shape you, to think about it, to meditate upon Christ's word. Jesus taught and preached. Pastors today teach and preach the word of God faithfully. Now, the reason why they were astonished at Jesus' teaching was because it had authority. His words possessed authority. Last week, the vicar mentioned that when the scribes would teach, they would just be quoting all these traditions they had learned. But when Jesus preached, there was none of that. He just said, people say this, but I say to you, unless you're born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I say to you, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he die. Jesus was speaking from the authority that he had. He wasn't quoting old traditions. He was speaking with authority, the word of God. That happens every divine service when you are here. Some of you know that we have a 3-year series for the gospel lessons. Series A, which was 2 years ago, most of the gospel lessons are from Matthew. Last year was series B, most of the lessons were from Mark and John. We're in series 3, and you notice most of the gospel lessons are from Luke in the next church year. That's so over a 3-year period of time, you will hear from all 4 gospels basic events of Christ's life, his teaching, his parables, his Passion Week, and his resurrection. You see, along with that, there's an Old Testament lesson, and an epistle lesson, and a psalm. The service is rich with the Word of God. You are being taught, and you can be astonished at the Word that comes to you at the divine service. You can thank God that faithful pastors are still preaching this gospel today. Jeremiah, in the Old Testament lesson, was told by God, even though he said, I don't know what to say, the Lord said, I have consecrated you, Jeremiah. I'm the one who has appointed you, sent you, commanded you to speak my words with your mouth. The law that plucks and destroys, the gospel which builds and plants. So when you come to the service, and Jeremiah is being read, just imagine that Jeremiah is standing there speaking to you. When you heard Paul today in 1 Corinthians talk about the greatest of these is love, imagine that Paul is standing there speaking through the lips of the reader. When we stand for the gospel lesson, the words of Luke, the words of Jesus, are being heard by your ears. Listen closely. Meditate on it, because it is the word of God that you are hearing. Thankfully, it's still proclaimed with human lips. I'm speaking, you are listening, you're understanding and meditating with your heart. Think of how absurd it would be if you came here on Sunday morning, I just printed out this sermon and we passed them out, and I got up in the pulpit and said, you all have 10 minutes to read, start now. And then I sat down. And then I got back up and said, okay, is everybody done? Everybody read? Okay, we now collect the offerings. That's absurd. You are hearing the word with your ears. It's a living voice. God is using my vocal cords to speak in a living voice to you. So you see, the power of Jesus and the preaching of Jesus continues to come through the servants that he sends to us, proclaim not their word, but the word of Christ. Thank the Lord also for the preaching of Jesus that still comes to you each and every Sunday and every time you read the written word of God. And then thirdly, the purpose of the power, the purpose of the preaching is the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus was worn out. Constant work. So, he departs to a desolate place to rest. But even there, the people seek him and find him. He wanted time alone to pray, to commune with God the Father, time to think, time for peaceful quiet. Jesus needed that, just like you and I did. But even there, the people found him. And they wanted to hold on to him, so he didn't leave Capernaum. He said, no, no. I must preach in the other towns too, for this is the purpose for which I was sent. Proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Good news in Greek is the word gospel. Gospel, good news. and proclaim the kingdom of God. You don't find the kingdom of God by looking inside yourself. You find the kingdom of God by looking outside of yourself to Jesus. Wherever the king is, there the kingdom is found. Then, when the gospel comes into you, then the kingdom of God surrounds you, becomes a part of you, is in you, and surrounds you through the word of Jesus. Wherever the king is, there is the kingdom. And the king is here. He is here. And this is the good news that we proclaim. You have been justified and declared innocent before God the Father because of Christ's sacrificial death in your place. And you are saved by grace, through faith, not by works. That's good news. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb without blemish, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for you upon the cross. You are forgiven. That is good news. Your sin has been atoned for and paid in full. Jesus said, "It is finished." The payment for your salvation is completed once for all in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. That is good news. You have been reconciled with God the Father. You are at peace with God the Father. Jesus has established that peace. He has one hand in heaven, God the Father's right hand. He has a hand here on earth. He's the go-between between the Father and all of us. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sin. We are reconciled to God the Father. He is not our enemy. He is our peace. We are reconciled and at peace with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That is good news. Just as this good news came to their towns and villages, it continues to come to our towns and villages. Think of how the gospel has come to our town, our village, and our community. It started in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and Galilee, all through the Roman Empire, and now to the ends of the earth, the gospel is being proclaimed. The preaching and the power of Jesus continues today. So in conclusion, this Jesus who cast out demons, rebuked fevers, and healed the sick is the same Jesus who lays his hand on you. He says, "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. You are my child. You have faith, hope, and love." He touches you and lays his hand on you in holy baptism, in water and word. He lays his hands on your ears through the preaching of the word and on your eyes as you are taught. He came to your heart this morning in the words of absolution and said your sins are forgiven. And when you receive Holy Communion, Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine, he is laying his hands on your mouth and on your heart and telling you, "This is for the forgiveness of your sins." So my friends, rejoice in the power of Jesus. Rejoice in the preaching of Jesus. Rejoice in the good news of Christ. Dedicate yourselves, now that 2019 is upon us, to be consistent, fervent, and dedicated to being present at the divine service to his Sabbath rest. That in your Christian life, shaped by word and prayer, you will fervently dedicate yourself to hearing, receiving, and believing the power and the preaching of Jesus Christ and live in the good news of the kingdom of God. May that be a reality in your life and in all of our lives this day. To Jesus the King be glory forever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.